So I'm usually not a very nervous speaker, but I'm in and I'm back there jamming to that wonderful special music, and it's over, and I'm, giving my round of applause, and then Pastor Aaron says to me, "You're up," and I'm like, "Wait a minute, what? Are we supposed to have the kids program next? What's going on?" Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
It's good to see everyone here on a day of Thanksgiving. I'll tell you what, serving with, I'm really blessed, to serve with elders like Elder Jerry and Pastor Aaron. But sometimes Pastor Aaron makes me so nervous. When he got up here and he said, "Steve," and then he's going to pass the mic around, I'm like, uh-oh. Because we're talking about Thanksgiving, and I'm like, someone's going to use my scripture. They're going to talk about what I wanted to say. But you know, I'm glad we did that, as nervous as it makes me today. Because we're winding down the calendar year 2025. And we know it's a different calendar than the biblical calendar. I'm not going to get into the history of that, but when you talk about how God impacts our life and what he does with it, it's easy to see that there's also another influence on this earth, right? So, for instance, the month of January, we call it January. It's named after a pagan god, Janus, right? And Janus had two heads, one looking forward and one looking backward. So that's why the Romans placed January at the beginning of the year. But, you know, we still have to notate dates. And as we come to the end of the year, there are a lot of things that I notice. I made a commitment 3 years ago to start going to the gym regularly. And at the beginning of the year, the gym is one of the worst places to go to. It always hits me like some bricks once you're in the cycle, because you go to the gym in the beginning of the year, you can't get on your equipment. There's a line, the whole place is crowded, the parking lots are packed. It's like a zoo in there for the first 2 weeks. But it's still crowded till the end of January. Then it gets a little less crowded, right? And then by the spring, it's like, okay, there's still heavier traffic, but it's manageable. You can get the equipment you want. This time of year, it's easy. You go in and you are the only one in the gym. Big gym. My gym is about maybe 12 times the size of this room. Bigger than that, guys? I'm about right. Okay, so, and I'm there this whole week. Got basically the whole place to myself. I'm not waiting on any equipment. It's wonderful. And I look at just some of the health challenges. You know, we talked about that today that I faced. And the things that I can do are limited, right? I can eat right. I can avoid sugar. I can eat more vegetables. I can sleep right. I can exercise. But there's only so much that I can do. And that's one area, and that's independent of how crowded my gym is or not. There's only so much that I can do. All of our areas of life are like that. I don't care how smart you are, how athletic you are, how good-looking you think you are, how healthy you are, you need more than just you. For your health, your wealth, your well-being. The title of my message today is The Benefits of God. The Benefits of God. It's not a selfish message of thinking just what God can do for you, but God made you for a reason, right? God made us to be great. Did you ever think about that? In heaven, when we start the Bible, it says, God says, let us make man, and we're going to make him in our image, and we're going to make him in our likeness. So I want us to think about the potential that God has already put in us. Today I'm going to be reading out of Psalm 103, but I'll reference a few other verses, popular verses. So we have these capabilities in us. So for instance, in Deuteronomy, God tells us, whenever you do anything great, whenever you get successful, if you get wealthy, don't say that you did it on your own, because God is the one that gave you the ability to create wealth. When we look at our families, he gave us the ability to create children. He told us, be fruitful and multiply. So he blesses us in so many ways. So we begin Psalm 103 with saying, praise the Lord. O my soul, in my innermost being, praise his holy name. Because we just talked about all the things that God has done for us. So we praise him with everything. Maybe it's because I'm approaching the age of 50. But the things that I enjoy in church services have changed. It used to be more intellectual. Believe it or not, even as a young person, I enjoyed listening to messages because I got a lot from them. Especially preachers that can open up the Bible, help me understand things, to see how amazing God was, to learn about God and the mysteries. I like that a lot. You know, I went to a church that focused heavily on prophecy. So we talked about all the mysteries and all the insights and all the hidden wisdom that was in the Bible. So I liked that as I was growing. But now, at the advanced age of almost 50, my relationship with God is a little bit different. I enjoy the praise and the worship. Maybe it's because I have 20 years of speaking now, so it's like, I don't even listen to my own messages. Half the time, I don't even write them down. I enjoy the praise, hearing about how great God is. And when you think about that, the scriptures tell us that God inhabits the praise of his saints. And we talk about what it's like in heaven. You know what it's not? It's not quiet in heaven. There's a choir over here, the elders over there are singing, these people are singing, this one is singing, everything is singing, plus the songs from up here and the praise, they go up. It tells us that. So I like praise. I want more of it. So in Psalm 103 and verse 2, David repeats this. He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So one of the reasons we praise is so that we don't forget the benefits. Now sometimes I think it's taboo in some circles to talk about the benefits of God. And I don't know why, because God loves us. Sometimes I have to remind my kids, sorry kids, they're going to hear about you today. I have to remind my kids that guess what? You are my children, okay? And there are benefits to being my kids that if you were somebody else's kids, you won't get those benefits. Make it tangible for them to understand. I told them, I said, I've raised you the way I wanted my parents to raise me. Like Micah, any day of the week, I would switch places with you, brother. Any day of the week. For real. He's up there, tall, good-looking, and he can sing? Yeah, I'd switch places with you. I'm bald and I got heart problems. I wouldn't do that to you.
Don't sell yourself short.
Thank you. So, God is our Father. Do we get benefits for being His children? So if we do, we should praise Him. You know, benefits, that's a big deal. In recruitment, right? One of the things they say now when we are recruiting Gen Z people to work, they don't care about salary alone as much anymore. You know what they care about? The benefits package. Right? They say, we can go anywhere and get money. What's the benefits? So that's fair because we say this is a Christian nation, but we don't behave Christian-like. Why is that? Is it we don't understand the benefits, some of the benefits we used to have, some of the benefits that we've lost? What are the benefits? Well, first of all, I'll tell you what a benefit is. A benefit, that's an advantage or profit gained from something. Or it could be a payment or a gift made by an employer, the state, or an insurance company. Or how about this benefit? A provision designed to safeguard an individual by minimizing legal responsibility. Can I tell you something? God, our Savior, gives you each and every one of these benefits. Now, you might think that an advantage or a profit gain might be the best advantage. And that's cool. A payment or a gift made by an employer or an insurance company, that might be a good benefit. But can I tell you something about a benefit? The benefit that I really like is a provision designed to safeguard an individual by minimizing legal responsibility. We'll get to that later in the text. There's one other definition of an advantage. That's the verb. And that advantage is called to receive the advantage. To receive the advantage. So we're going to get into that. So in Psalm 103, starting in verse 3, we're going to talk about the benefit package. So we're praising the Lord. We're not going to forget His benefits. The first benefit is who forgives all your sins. So I don't know about you, but 2025 for me was a long year. A long year. And I'm glad that every single thing that I did in 2025 is cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Is that a benefit? Is that an advantage? Listen, the Bible says the soul that sins should die, right? So I am glad that I don't have the legal responsibility for the sins of 2025. So I was kind of making fun of the people in the gym, you know? I said, I don't like to go to the gym at the beginning of the year, because it's so crowded, right? Right now it's empty. Y'all thought that was funny. What about the commitments we make to God at the beginning of the year? Oh, Christian people don't do that, do we? 2026 is coming, you're like, I'm going to be better in 2026 than I was in 2025. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast. Do we do that? No, you know what? I'm sorry, wrong church. We don't do that here. But He forgives all of our sins. How about this? We just like, you know what? This year, I'm going to try my best. Those issues, those sins that bother me, I'm not going to do it, okay? And you're good for like the first 2 weeks of January. You might hold out till March. And by the end of the year, the gym is empty. I'm going to go to church more every Sabbath. Okay. By the end of the year, the church is empty, except for Pentecost. But we don't have to worry about that because someone paid so we could have that benefit. How about this? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? So when I read verse 3, 4, and 5 of that benefit package, that's something that I want. I'm like those Gen Z people looking for jobs. I don't just want the pay, okay? I don't just want salvation. I want the benefit package. And here's the thing, I can't do that on my own. I can't heal myself. I don't care if I do go to the gym 5 days a week and avoid sugar and try to get a good night's sleep. I can't heal myself. I can't crown myself with the love and compassion that I need. And you can try to satisfy yourself with all the good things, but it's like striving after the wind. I was talking to a gentleman this week, and he was telling me about his boat and how nice it was. And I had one friend who was into boating, and what he told me, he said, the two happiest days of a man's life is when he buys his boat and then when he sells his boat. Because every good thing you have, I learned that from one of my mentors, Deacon Stager Horton, every good thing that you have on this earth can bring you headache. You know, most of you know, I invest in real estate. Right? And sometimes I find this gem, this gorgeous house. I'm going to renovate this house. I'm going to make it look nice. And you have all these plans to make them grand, to enjoy them. And inevitably, all those nice man-made things, you're going to walk in the house that you paid people to do all these millions of things right, and you're going to be like, wait a minute. What happened to the wall that's supposed to be here? And somebody replies to you, normally in not in English, that they looked at the building plans wrong and they demoed a wall that wasn't supposed to get demoed. Or, wait, how come the light switch for the garbage disposal is opening the garage? Y'all watch HGTV. You see those things? Guess what? It really happens. Or how about this one? I've been waiting for the next version of my SUV to come out. I love it. I sit in it. I feel like I'm riding on a cloud. I just came from church. I preached a wonderful sermon. And I'm just high on life. And we're behind the truck. And oh no, this little pebble, oh, it's getting bigger. Oh, on your windshield, crack. And you can't get another windshield because every windshield they make is going into a new vehicle. So you watch it get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it doesn't matter whatever physical possession it is. It could be a house, it could be clothing, it could be a video game, it could be that TV show that you watch to get fulfillment on, or you Netflix and binge, or it could be your video game, or these phones that we keep in front of ourselves. Anything that you obsess on, it can't give you true satisfaction. It might make you happy for a little bit. So to satisfy you, your desires, to crown you with that love and compassion, that only comes from one source. So here we have from David, King David, a call to action. To number one, praise the Lord, because he gives us benefits that we cannot get from anywhere else. So what are the benefits? Well, we talked about those. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, crowning with loving kindness and satisfaction. Why do we need to remember this? So it's like what we did today. I love the testimonies, right? Because when you come to the end of the year, sometimes you forget indeed how good God has really been to you. Because we talked about this. This earth can be rough on us. This world system can be rough on us. You look at the news, it can be so depressing. Wars over here, wars over there. We're blowing up boats over here. Violence over here, corruption. We just want to live in peace. We want to be in verses 3, 4, and 5 with healing and forgiveness. But we live in this world. So we have to remember that even though we live in this world and there's conflict, that we serve a God who loves us, and we still have that benefit package. So we remember because it combats forgetfulness, because it's easy to get caught up in our present problems. See, I don't know everybody in here, but what I do know is that everybody in here has some kind of problem. Even when we have good days, even when we're enjoying our brand new SUV, even when our marriages are strong, even when we feel healthy, okay? The things that weigh us down, they're things that are on everybody's mind. Everybody's mind. It could be your health of a loved one, your finances, a relationship, a business deal. So you remember to combat the forgetfulness that our present problems are just that. They're our present problems, and they're going to be past problems, just like all those testimonies were. Past problems, things we get past. The other thing it does is it sustains our faith. It sustains our faith. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood with violence and drug dealing. I grew up in a neighborhood where drug houses got raided. I've seen people shot to death. And when you look at statistics, there's a better chance of someone like me being dead or in jail than going to college and graduating. Now, for the record, I didn't go to college and graduate. But even that is something of faith, to look and see what God could do despite the present situations. So that's why you praise him, and that's why you remember him, because you remember, you know what? My kids, they're giving me a headache right now. All the parents can say amen. I know you've had that, right? But I remember when I didn't have kids and I really wanted some. And this can get past. We can get past this. Or you have problems with your house, you know, like what I'm talking about? How about I remember when I didn't have a house? I remember when my housing situation, when we first came up to this country, was very sketchy. So it sustains your faith. When you have car problems, I remember when I took everything. I was like this close to not qualifying for a car. But I was able to qualify for a car. And it wasn't much of a car. Anything that you can complain about right now is something I want you to pause, like truly pause and think about that. And remember the benefits. So when you think about it that way, of course you praise. Of course you can realize how good and merciful God has been. And when we do this, it allows us, as we go into 2026, to not repeat some of the same things we did in the past when we do forget. And we rely on our own strength. Or we dismiss all these blessings we have because we're not looking at the big picture. So in verse 6, we see the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his way known to Moses and his deed to the people of Israel. See, it's important that they bring that up because these Israelites serve as an example to us. You know, we look at that all the time, the Israelites. We look at stories like the Israelites. We look at Adam and Eve. And truly, I think we are unfair to them, right? We think, you know what? If I was Eve or I was Adam, there's no way I would eat that fruit, right? You probably said that to yourself. You've said that to yourself. I wouldn't eat that fruit. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. You would absolutely eat the fruit. You eat the fruit all the time. You would absolutely eat the fruit. God made Adam and Eve with his own hands. Okay? You're like the 400th version of the copy with genes that are degenerate in a degenerate earth and you don't even think right. And yeah. He like spoke to them face to face. Blew his breath into them and they became living beings and they ate the fruit. You're arrogant enough to think you're not going to eat the fruit? Because I thought about that. Like, why would they eat it? I'll tell you why. He told us. She looked at the fruit and she said, it's good for food. It's attractive and it's desirable to make one wise. Those are the things you like now. Who don't like good food? Who doesn't like to feel like they're smarter? Who doesn't like beautiful things? And then we look at the Israelites. It says, he's made his way known to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. How come Moses can get up there and strike that rock and say, must I bring you water? That's what he did, right? That's what kind of sealed his fate. Like Moses. We wouldn't be that arrogant, right? I mean, because Moses knew he wasn't the one really bringing the water, but he would say that. And then you find out in the New Testament, that rock was Christ. Ooh, ouch. You strike the rock once, then you speak to the rock. You follow commands, Moses. So, do we get that? Do we get that he loves righteousness and justice? And even though he's displayed all these things for Moses and the Israelite, they forgot. So what do we need to do so we don't forget about the good things that God has given us? You know, I repeat some things over and over and over so I don't forget. You know what I repeat to myself? I came here at the age of 13, okay, with a suitcase and a little sister and nothing else. I repeat that to myself. I repeat to myself that I came to this country from a third world country. And that's why Thanksgiving is still one of my favorite holidays, because even though I recognize that this country is not perfect, right? We're far from a perfect country. We got a lot of issues here. We can be honest about that. I still recognize the blessings. So I can't be bitter. I can't be mad at a country that gave me a wife, that gave me 7 beautiful kids, freedom of worship, friends, a very comfortable life. I tell people all the time, listen, even when I was poor in America, that's poor in America, okay? It's different where I'm from. It's different where I'm from. There's nobody to go to say, hey, we need help. or you don't have enough money on the bills, they're going to supplement you. Supplement what? No, some government official got it, and they have the big house up on the hills. That's where the help went. Yes, I know your politicians steal, but you have so much, they can steal, and you can still get it good. All the poor people I knew growing up had big screen TVs and designer clothes. Yeah, this is Detroit in the hood. 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. I was there, 100%. Taking the DOT bus that you got to wait half an hour for and still got Air Jordans. So when I think about complaining, like what? Complaining about this country. I can talk about injustice. We're supposed to talk about injustice. But can I complain when there's so many people without running water? Right? I was on a call with some Church of God church groups raising money for the people, our brothers and sisters in Jamaica, for the hurricane. And they're talking about the human trafficking that's going on in Haiti. And we had a telethon and we raised $40,000, something like that. And guess what? That's not even a drop in the bucket of what it's going to take. And even when you get the money there, they don't have the materials to rebuild these churches. There is no FEMA. So do we think about that when we remember the benefits? See, that active remembrance, right? When I remember that, it thinks, okay, you know what? Yeah, this is wrong with my house now. That's wrong with my house now. You know, we didn't do this. This is broken. It's like, well, you know, I got a lot more than a suitcase and a little sister. I have a home. I have a family. So I don't know what is your suitcase in your life. I don't know what is your little sister in your life. I don't know what's your memory of coming to a place like I did without any money, without having a home of your own for the first, what was that? 12 years you're in this country, right? Stayed with friends. The church helped us. We didn't have anything. Well, how about when you mess up? How about when you mess up? Did you mess up in 2025? I know I did. I messed up royally, like royally, like bad. I want you to think about this. You know, in my speaking style, sometimes I confess bad things I do to the church. I'll tell them, yeah, I did this, yeah, I did that, yeah, I did that. And they're like, okay. Think about, if I confess the stuff to you, think about the stuff that I'm too embarrassed to confess to you that I do. But I still praise the Lord because in verse 8, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. Praise God. How can you not praise a God like that? Verse 10, to me, is one of the most important verses in the Bible because I know how we are as human beings. It says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. That's the reason that most of us are still in here walking around breathing. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. Silas liked that verse too. Okay. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he moved his transgressions, our transgressions, from us. So remember when I talked about benefits? I said, a provision designed to safeguard an individual by minimizing legal responsibility. So we can talk about the advantage or profit gained from something. Yeah, that's a benefit. We can talk about a payment or a gift or something else that you get. But that provision to safeguard you from the legal responsibility of what you have done, to me, that's the best benefit of all. That's that kind of benefit that you know it's going to come, right? That's a benefit you can depend on. Are y'all still waiting around to get your $5,000 check from Doge? Or what about your $2,000 rebate check from tariffs? Maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. If you do get it, can I get a loan? But the benefit that I'm depending on, I hope that's the benefit that keeps us coming to church and have us turning to our Messiah, is that benefit that allows us to avoid legal responsibility for things that we deserve, and not in a good way. So it says in verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed his transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. I talked about my kids earlier. Remember we talked about blessings and the things that bless you can drive you up a wall, right? And all the parents in here, some of y'all said amen and the rest of y'all was thinking it. Amen. Right? I love my kids. I love my kids more than anything else. They drive me crazy. They hear and they know they drive me crazy. Some days I come home and I'm in a good mood, right? And I walk in the house and you open the house and it's like, why is your bed on the kitchen floor? Who put the bloody handprints on the ceiling? Why is there chocolate ice cream on the TV screen? And it's smeared. And you know what my kids say? They say, well, Jaden did it, right? But as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers we're dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone and its place is remembered no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him and his righteousness with their children's children. Yeah. When I was younger, that whole children's children thing, it didn't even register. Now they got a 22-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, I'm reading that differently. And it's letting me know that my relationship with God, this God that I'm going to praise, can have generational blessings. With those who keep his covenant, you know, people argue about old covenant, new covenant, this covenant, that covenant. Where people see challenges and obstacles, I see opportunity. And I see an opportunity here to bless my children and their children and to make this generational. The Lord who established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. So why do we praise him? Well, we praise him for his benefits. We praise him so that we're grateful. We praise him because he is. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding and obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So in 2026, I want us to focus on God's character, because he's telling us here who he is. That is why we praise him. So it's not just about what he has done for us in the past by creating us and sustaining us. It's not just about his benefits. Even though we like his benefits, it's not just for his benefits. It's who he is. He's long-suffering. Even when we do wrong, we don't get what we deserve. He has compassion. He has love. He takes the sins and he puts them from east is from the west. That's how far it is. And not just that. When we keep his covenant, he looks out for our children and our children's children. So when we look at that character, who God is, we praise him for that. So let's cultivate a thankful heart. Let's keep God's presence in mind. Let's look at 2025 with every single triumph that we have had, so that the temporary challenges, because the challenges, they don't go anywhere, right? If your checking account was overdrafted before you came to church, when you go home, your checking account is probably still overdrafted. The car problems you had, you might still have. The issues with the house, you still have them. You got a problem with one of your kids, one of your parents, your spouse, those issues are there. But why be thankful? Why be grateful? Well, I'll tell you why. Because those situations are all going to be temporary, and your God is permanent. See, your God is who he is, no matter what challenge you're facing. And no matter what challenge you're facing, your God can help you get past everyone. So remember we read he's a restorer. I want you to think about all the times he restored you in the past and you praise him for being a restorer. Because if he restored you before, he could restore it again. Have you had health challenges? Any health challenges? Or do you know someone that has had health challenges that he's healed? Guess what? He is still in the healing business. I've told the story. We came up here. We didn't have our papers together. I had asthma. I was so sick. I could not go to the hospital. So I'm in the bed, in the hood, in Detroit. And my mom asked me, do you believe in God? Do you trust God? Do you believe God is a healer? And put her hands on my chest and prayed over me. And my asthma went boom. See, that's a testimony. So God is a healer. So now that I'm older and I have this issue with my heart, okay, I can just depend on me and what I'm doing and what I'm eating and what I'm exercising and what my doctor is saying. I'm going to U of M. They have the best heart. I could put my trust in that. I could get depressed and upset when my heart isn't beating right. I could trust God, right? No matter what the answer is. He's healed me before, right? So I have to remember that. I have to remember that at the Feast of Tabernacles, when we took Micah to the hospital because he had an allergic reaction so bad, the hospital said they couldn't do anything for him. And they put him in a helicopter to take him to a hospital 3 hours away. And we had to pray. So when I'm looking at whatever challenge I have today, I'm like, well, I guess I'm not spending a week at U of M Hospital like I did 3 years ago. I'm not having to leave my wife in the hospital. So it helps me put the current challenges, the present, because it's still in front of you. It's like, what are we going to do with this? Well, I don't know. And you know what? I don't need to have the answers because my God has them. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope you are, because with 2025, we've had to deal with a lot. 2025 has been intense. I don't know that 2026 is going to be any less intense. But I knew that God is still powerful in 2026. That's why we praise God, because he's still going to be faithful in 2026. See, this benefits package that I started, remember the title of my message today, The Benefits of God? That benefits package isn't like one of those other benefits package. This benefit package does not have an expiration date on it. So when it says, praise the Lord, my soul, in my innermost being, praise the Lord and forget not his benefits, I'm praising him so I don't forget that, because it's constant and it's always going. He's going to constantly forgive our sins in that benefit package. He's going to constantly heal our diseases. He's going to constantly redeem our life. He's going to constantly forgive our sins. He's going to constantly not make us face the true consequences for every bad deed that we have done. We don't have to answer for that, because he sent his son to answer for that for us. And that one gift, that's permanent. That looks back, that's present, and that's future. And he's going to crown us with love and compassion. So today, when you leave here, no matter what individual challenge or trial you are going through, I want you to be thankful. And that can be hard when you are in the hospital bed. That can be hard when you're looking at a negative bank account. That can be hard when you don't have reliable transportation, reliable housing. That could be hard when you're going home and you know you're going to argue with your kids because there's chocolate all over the TV screen. That can be hard when you and your spouse don't see eye to eye. But God is still God, and I want you to think about when you didn't have that house, when you didn't have the kids, when you didn't have the transportation. Forget having no money in the account, when you didn't even have an account. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and let's not forget his benefits.